It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History.
Win.
We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Quick shout out to Federated Mutual Insurance Company. Federated is here to help business owners, and they've been helping business owners in the state of Minnesota for over 100 years during pandemic periods and non-pandemic periods. It really just helps tremendously to have an insurance company that gives you peace of mind as you navigate the challenges of running a business. When you partner with Federated, you get more than just a policy. You benefit from over a century of experience in making businesses as successful as they can be. Visit federatedinsurance.com to find your local representative. And remember, at Federated Mutual Insurance Company, it's our business to protect yours.
TCL is a proud sponsor of the Score North Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Oh, it's fun. Crazy. It's painful, but it's wonderful.
What is the name?
It's Royce Unchained.
Patrick Royce, how about those Green Bay Packers, huh?
Oh, man. The veteran coach who had his, quarterback who had his best year has got to be a depressed individual today after this whole year of light enjoying everybody. And the funny thing about it was his number one villain, MVS, had a good day. He didn't drop anything. We can all rip, this whole Viking fans, Rodgers hatred. He's great, but it will. He's going to have to explain someday why he didn't run. And instead of trying to throw that little low bullet to a guy who was double covered. That is not a Rodgers decision, but he was harassed. Mm-hmm. Our guy Billy Turner did not have a good day against Jean-Paul and the other. Rick Wagner.
Yeah, the right tackle had a bad day, too.
Barrett. I'd never even heard of Barrett.
Shaq Barrett's a pretty good player.
Well, the Tampa Bay defense a lot better than I thought. They actually did a real good job. Now, they had a big advantage in the fact that you could do anything you wanted to the receivers. The only one they ever called was because the guy stretched out the back of the jersey so far that they had no choice but to call
it. And there was a lot of thought given to that flag.
Yeah, they waited like 8 seconds to call it, and Tyler Johnson was like pulling away from the guy. But it was the only one they called all day, right?
Yeah.
I think it was the only PI all day.
They only threw like five flags total.
Some of the stuff they did to Davante Adams was unbelievable.
I'm convinced the league told the crew, calm down with the flags.
It's obvious. But there's at a point, you got to call something.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it was brutal.
But I don't remember the last game I've seen. I mean, it was probably the 90s.
Well, it was the middle of the third quarter, and they hadn't called one penalty. Mm-hmm. It hadn't been a false start. Hadn't been anything. And it's been that way. Now, this Hockley kid still calls penalties like his old man when he has a game. But it's been that way all year, but never anything like this. I was exchanging texts with our old friend Collar, and I said, I've been watching it for 60 years, and I've never seen defensive backs in the NFL get away. It was like a high school game.
Yep.
It was refereed like a high school game where the guys want to get to the bar and want the game to get over. So unless you tackle somebody right in front of them. It was funny in the first half because they saw LaFleur screaming on the sidelines and they said, well, he's really upset at his team for that play. No, he was upset that they had two blockers 6 yards down the field in front of that screen pass. Before the ball was thrown, they had two guys down there blocking people in that little first third down pass, and then why didn't they mention that? I mean, Aikman drives everybody nuts because he just babbles, but I mean, he played 5,000 games and has seen that many. Why?
I am shocked, though, that the league basically looks like they told them not to call PIs.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was. Yeah.
I mean, that's the one. They won offense.
As you say, they were tempted not to call that last one.
Yeah.
Which would have been, this would have been the, in the old days, it would have been the front cover of Sports Illustrated, you know, the before.
Oh, he's stretching his shirt out.
But that's the only reason they called it. Mm-hmm. If the guy had just grabbed him around the waist or
if
something.
If he had spun him around, I think they don't call it.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't know if I'm LaFleur and my whole game is having the best quarterback there is, I'm pounding on the referee's door at halftime, saying what the bleep is going on here, you know. But that said, they did not play good, and he felt the pressure. I mean, when you've played all season and only been rushed once, and that was against Tampa the first time, and now you're getting knocked around again. Hey, who's their defensive coordinator? Todd Bowles, right?
For the Bucs? Yes, Todd Bowles. He's very good. He's a real good coordinator.
He had a I mean, he, you know, they didn't let him. Even when he got out, it was not like comfortable out. There was somebody chasing him. You know, it wasn't like him rolling out.
If Bakhtiari plays, I wonder if it's different.
Yeah, I think it is probably. Well, hey, if they don't give up a touchdown pass.
Oh, the defense
at the end
awful.
At the end of the half, and that. Patton's going to get fired now because they were mad at him anyway, right?
Yeah.
But LaFleur was willing to call him out after the game, but not himself. He wasn't willing to call himself out for kicking the field goal. What in God's... Then he says, well, we needed the touchdown and a two-point conversion. Yeah, why do we need the two-point conversion, you moron? You know, a couple, 3 minutes to go in the third quarter. You got all the momentum. I don't know why teams in that situation want to give the momentum back by missing a two-pointer. You know, when you got them on the run, right?
Yep.
You're going to get it down to 28-24.
Yep.
And they're puckered up. Now you're coming.
Yep.
And now all of a sudden, oh, you miss it. Now they got to, you know.
Why did he also think that his defense was going to get the ball back from Brady? That's why that defense is not that good.
No, they aren't. They didn't have hardly any rush on him.
Yeah.
No, they didn't. I mean, they didn't.
But I mean, so
they've been playing pretty good, but they didn't.
He thought that they're going to get the ball to 25, the Bucs are, and then they're going to get it back. I have no idea why he thought they were going to get it back.
And everybody's talking about Brady throwing three interceptions and they didn't take advantage. Well, the last interception was a punt.
Yep.
It was a punt. He just...
It literally
they should have let it drop, really. The kid should have just knocked it down and made him punt.
Yep.
Because I mean, they're not like... The last two didn't... He never really put them in prime position with his... interceptions. The second one wasn't his fault. It was the receiver. I mean, it wasn't anybody.
Yeah, the
ball was just
high.
Kind of, it was a little high, but it was floating around. But Packers got to say, you know, they played their worst game of the year. I think. Not the worst game of the year, but the worst game of this stretch. You know?
Yes.
Because they'd really looked good to me in November and December ever since the Vikings.
And the defense improved after the Vikings game, right?
Yeah, right.
Against the Vikings defense was not good.
Yeah, they're, you know, Alexander's a good corner. The Savage makes some plays at this as a safety.
Oh, he got beat on the deep ball, too.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, somebody was supposed to be helping Kevin Kidd. That wasn't man-to-man, was it?
It looked like, yeah.
I mean, it looked like it, but wasn't there some safety who got lost or something?
I have no idea. I have no, and Kevin King had an awful day.
Oh, he did. He was terrible. Yeah, he was terrible.
Would have mocked that day.
Yeah,
was a Chris Cook day.
And plus, they call timeout.
Yep.
And then they put this guy in the game, Scotty Miller. He hadn't been in the game.
Yep.
Isn't somebody saying?
And he's the guy that caught the 48-yard touchdown pass from Brady in Tampa against the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
That deep ball.
And so they've seen that play.
That play.
So aren't they saying to each other, okay, they're going to try to do something here?
I have no idea.
Because they were defending the 20-yard pass to prevent the field goal, obviously. But, man, that was brutal.
And how does the quarterback not know that the coach, if they get to fourth down, is not going to go for it? Roger said he didn't know.
No. Well, I don't. I'm convinced the coach didn't know either.
They just
he did that spontaneously.
I don't know how you don't have a plan for that.
Oh, there's no plan to have. Score a touchdown.
Well, that can...
What if they stop you? They're at the six.
Yeah. Well, and to your point, though, if he takes off and runs,
he's at the one.
I think he gets to the two or the one, and then they go for it without question.
Yeah.
I mean, he should have just taken off.
He should.
Which is the same thing that Favre didn't do 11 years to the day at the Superdome.
Oh, was it?
Take off to your right. 11 years to take off to your right. You just have to hobble, basically.
Yeah. Well, and
you're going to get yards.
Oh, I was shocked that he pulled it down and threw it because he threw it a line. The passes he made down in there, like all three times to the end zone, were not good ones.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't. And that's because they didn't pop anybody open, really. I mean, everybody was covered, and everyone had somebody in the vicinity that made him throw a very accurate pass, and he didn't throw one. That was not game A for him. But again, I would think in the case of both quarterbacks, they will tell you that they have never thrown so many passes thinking a guy that was going to be open, and then he got grabbed, and they didn't call it. I would think both of them, if they were honest, would say, I've never, this guy's going to be open, and then I'm going to throw it out here 2 yards, and they got him by the belt buckle or something.
And then he's going to be mugged, and no one's going to care, and they're not going to throw a flag.
No, aren't you amazed at now we couldn't see it, but aren't you amazed the coaches didn't raise more hell?
Yes. Yes, and I am surprised that...
How about the players not going?
At halftime,
where's the players going?
But there was a point there where it went from being a little bit fluky, Pat, to they're really not going to call a thing.
No, it did. It got to a point.
And I don't remember the last time I watched a game like that.
And who got the penalty? Savvy, who got the penalty on Tyler Johnson?
I thought it was King. I thought he grabbed
was
him.
Was that King?
I thought it was. So I'm not positive.
It got to the point where... The only way I can get a penalty is if I grab a guy's jersey and they make him see it, And so that's what he does. I think he could have tripped him and nothing would have happened.
He definitely could have spun him around by the waist and not been called.
Yeah.
But do you know who watched that game and probably thought, what the hell? Zim. That was a game Zim would have loved.
Oh, Zim would have loved it.
Zim would have told his corners in the first quarter,
"Give me Xavier back."
Exactly.
Xavier can grab Hansy, and my Hansy boys can come back.
That would have been a Zim game, perfect game for him.
What do you think that they like what they've done to it, and they'll do it again next year?
Done to what?
Stop calling penalties, holding, and
I like the holding thing, and I think they're right on that, but not the PIs, Pat. It makes no sense.
No, the PIs does not fit into the theory that they want a high scoring passing game.
Correct.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
And holding is a boring call by nature that happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like we were watching guys get grabbed.
Yeah.
And they just ignored it.
Yeah. It was.
So no, I don't think that's part. I don't think that's a long term part of the plan.
And as for the other game. Utter mismatch.
How much fun is the kid, though?
Mahomes.
It's unbelievable.
I took the hard stance on Twitter sometime in the third quarter that he seems to be a very self-confident lad.
Now that's a hot take.
It's not an arrogance that he plays with. It's a... I know how good I am.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a difference between selling yourself to the public and just being that damn good. It's unbelievable how good he is.
When the kid fumbled the punt early on at the two, and then the Bills scored.
He went over
Hardman.
There.
Mahomes went to him and basically said, "Don't worry about it." So, and you could see what he was doing. But he wasn't like fired up. Like we're gonna come. He was just like, "Don't worry about it."
Yeah, I saw
then he threw him the ball a couple times.
Yeah, right off the bat.
Hardman score. But Pat, when that play occurred, I never thought to myself, "Chiefs might lose this game."
Oh no, I didn't either.
Never once.
I didn't either. It was panic everywhere else in the league. There's panic. If you all of a sudden put yourself in a situation.
Can you imagine Zim if the kid, if his guy fumbled up?
And you put yourself in a situation where you're behind 10-0 and you haven't had the ball yet, basically, right?
Yeah.
And then, You know, it was like, you know, when that happened to the Vikings in Giants Stadium, when they were behind 14-0 before they got the football, they didn't react that way.
Dante didn't say, don't worry about it. No problem.
I'm like, what? They all went, didn't exactly react that way. It is, there should be a new strategy of all around is get the fastest SOBs you can find who can catch a pass. You know, they can't be Troy Williamson if they can catch, like Tyreek, they give Tyreek permission to drop to a game, right?
Because
he's going to catch eight.
Mm-hmm.
And then every once in a while, somebody's going to miss a tackle and he'll go 60. You know, because you miss a tackle with him, he goes 50 or 60.
Yes.
You know.
And he did last night.
Yeah. And Hardman, you know, same way. They throw that little screen on the side and boom. You miss a tackle, boom. That, they make you pay for missing a tackle.
Yes.
You know.
And good luck catching them.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the next guy that doesn't catch them.
No.
Until the two or something like that.
Yeah, they're all, I mean, they caught Tyreek down at the four and about eight of them, you know, they have, chasing them.
They have redefined football in some ways, I think, as basketball.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so, too. Yeah. It's
they play like Golden State did when Golden State was going great guns. Like they, you don't you.
Yes, that's
you
true.
Can't keep kicking field goals like Buffalo did. You can't keep kicking field goals and say we're going to work our way back into this one.
Yeah, well, even when Buffalo had the ball and they were down less than two touchdowns, it was what 12 or something, and they were moving and they were getting down there. You said, well, they might make it close, but they are going to win. What was the number on that game?
I don't know. That's
had to be close to 10, right? Around 10, I guess.
Probably, yeah. Touchdown or so.
Yeah. Yeah, they're
just to get action on both sides.
I was very interested in the Packer game, so I didn't leave the couch for that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was, this guy, you can't stop watching the Chiefs because this guy's too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, just watching him play football is too much fun. Kelsey's the greatest tight end that's ever played, too, by the way.
Yeah,
he's good. God, is he good. Because he blocks, too.
Oh, yeah.
And he, I mean, he caught 107 passes as a tight end.
I know.
That's,
and he dropped one early, and then he never dropped another one.
And they do stuff like, I think we should let Travis score a touchdown. So they run the little inside thing. It's like they pick out who gets to score the touchdowns, too, right? You know, I think Travis would like to say he scored a touchdown, so let's run this.
And Mahomes can do anything from anywhere. That's the incredible. And, Pat, he had turf toe. He had turf toe.
Yeah.
Like most guys, when they have turf toe, you can tell.
Yeah, this time. Now, last week, you could.
Oh, yeah.
But after he actually
got hurt. But when he was playing
hurt
on Sunday, this time you couldn't tell.
What I love is the sidearm.
Yep.
When they got him all tied up, and then he.
How good of athlete was the old man?
Great athlete. You don't get to see it as a pitcher, but he was a legendary basketball player in his high school, and and he was a great quarterback too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he was a great quarterback, legendary basketball player, and of course, second round draft choice in baseball.
Because this
took the money.
This kid's arm is off the charts.
Well, this kid would have been a major league baseball player too. I think he finally quit it like his senior year or something. But he was a hot baseball prospect. I think he quit basketball. I wrote something on. I can't remember talking to LaTroy and him a couple of years ago. Not this year, but last year. But I think he quit basketball just because he had too much else going on. Mm-hmm. You know. But because his football season down there always lasted till December 20th, you know, because they take that high school football a little more serious down there. They keep going. They play like 10, 12 games, and then they have their playoffs and their various classifications. I think Pat, though, the old man, led them to a state championship, too, in one of their that same high school. Pat's a great athlete. A legendary athlete down there, which we didn't really, you know, back then when a guy got drafted, the internet didn't cover the draft and these players like they do now, and you know, you'd hear anecdotal, yeah, he's a hell of an athlete, but that'd be it.
Right, you wouldn't know what to make of it.
You wouldn't look in and say, well, he could have played three sports, you know. I think he was going to go to Arkansas.
Okay.
And I think he was going to be with Oliver Miller and Lee Mayberry and that whole collection. I think he would have been with that great, they didn't win that, not the one that won it, but a great team in the, whenever we had the first Final Four here, 92 or something like that. I think he was going to go.
They pressed you, right?
He was going to, oh yeah.
That club?
He was going to go to Arkansas and play with Nolan.
Nolan Richardson.
40 yeah. minutes of hell.
That's what it was, yeah.
40 minutes of hell. Yep. And, yeah, I mean, that was, I went down before we had, it had to be 92, before we had the first Final Four. Was it 92, I think?
Yeah.
And
yep.
And I went to Tobacco Road and went to Massachusetts.
Back in the old traveling days?
Yeah. And then I went, and the Big Eight was the hot conference then. Uh-huh. So I went to see Gallagher, Iba, the old one, and Oklahoma State, and then I went to a Oklahoma game, and I went to Kansas, went to the greatest arena there is. But then I detoured and went to Fayetteville to see Arkansas play Alabama. And Alabama had Sprewell and about three other NBAers, and Arkansas had three, four NBAers, and it was 94-90 or something. It was fantastic. It was great. One of the best college basketball games I've ever seen. And Mahomes would have been on that team, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah, so he was a great athlete. This kid's, I mean, Pat's a nice enough guy, but this kid's sharper than Pat was.
Yeah. Oh, this kid gets it.
Yeah, he's sharper because he was raised by Mom.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Mom had more discipline in her life than Dad.
Oh, probably.
once they split.
That's probably
but,
fair.
But, I mean, he was close to his dad, but not, you know. So.
But the fact that the Chiefs were down, and it looked bad but didn't feel bad, and he just literally is like, whatever.
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's the damnedest thing.
I think it's fun for him. Yeah. Then,
he's like, someone challenged
then
me.
Then they can break out the whole menu there.
And Andy, man.
They go out there and say, okay, let's come out here and we'll throw a little naked screen to the right side and we'll make 8 yards and then we'll throw to the left side and we'll get the first down and then they'll wonder what the hell's going on.
Mike Remmers is playing left tackle for him and it doesn't matter.
After somebody got hurt.
Yeah, but my point is...
Remmers is a starter, though.
Yes, he is.
But, he's a right tackle, but then he had to move the left.
Left tackle, but he's playing left tackle.
Replacing Fisher, who's like their stud, you know.
But, right.
Yeah.
But think about that. You can move him to left tackle and not fear for the life of your quarterback.
that was it. Every time I see him play it, because we didn't even like it when he played guard, right?
We tolerated him at right guard, but at right tackle, it was a mess.
Yeah.
And then I think that was it for him here.
Buffalo is feisty and plucky, but the idea that they're on the cusp of greatness, I don't buy it.
I'm with you. I think they're going to be good for a while.
Yeah, but I don't. When you watch your defense, you don't like say, wow, look at him.
I don't think they get to a Super Bowl.
Not for a while, I don't think. No.
I don't think Diggs gets there. I think Diggs is going to be real good, and I think they're going to be fun to watch and very competitive.
Well, they must have. I couldn't really tell, having not seen the whole 22, but they must have been doubling them for three quarters.
Yeah, I don't
before
know.
They
I'm
finally
sure they were.
Him. Yeah.
You know, Spags is actually a good DC.
Yeah.
That was Chili's buddy, Spagnuolo.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And
he tried it as a head coach.
He's not wasn't that good. With the Rams.
Rams, that's right.
Yeah, and he didn't have much success. But I think he's a good coordinator.
So I wonder, is Houston going to hire Bieniemy today? Because the two finalists are supposed to be Bieniemy and Leslie.
I bet Leslie gets the job now. Bieniemy's got 2 weeks.
Yeah, but after watching what Bieniemy's offense did to Leslie's defense.
I agree, but you know how goofy this league is?
We all like Leslie. Great guy, but is that what you need?
You
need some fire?
You know what? I think that they believe that they are such a mess, especially if
they want
Watson
calm.
Still gets traded.
They
and the one
calm.
Thing Leslie brought here, I'll give him credit, after calm. Chili got... Calm.
Calm. Yeah,
when Chili got blown out... He brought stability.
But they must have.
They got fired.
They must have the league. Goodell's boys must be calling them every 5 minutes saying, you got to hire.
What is going on?
You got to hire a black guy. You know,
well, then they should.
Instead of some obscure Italian in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Well, how about, I wrote a blog this morning. I was inspired. I was thinking, these coaches need Lou Gelfand to make them admit their mistakes, right? You know, we had Lou as our reader rep, but you probably didn't have to see Lou because you weren't writing.
Oh, no, I did. Lou was great.
Lou was fine, but Lou...
Lou held you accountable.
Lou held you accountable. And you found out after a while, don't make excuses.
Yeah.
Go in there and let Lou tell you you screwed up.
Yep.
And it's going to be in the column on Sunday. And you'd say you'd walk back with your head hanging. I said it was the walk of shame. And, you know, it was the newsroom walk of shame when you went to see Lou. But I got to the point by the mid-90s. I'd go in and rat myself out.
Oh, you'd self-report?
Yeah, I'd self-report instead of, because I think Lou, I said, Lou had one of those red buttons like Trump did for his Diet Cokes. When the red button flashed, that meant one of his regulars was calling because he had like these, there were 15 people out there reading the papers cover to cover trying to find a mistake,
yep.
You know, and they'd call Lou.
Yep.
And, but... The media obviously can't get these coaches to admit they screwed up.
Correct.
So the league needs Lou to say, to call Matt LaFleur this morning and say, you made a big mistake and you must admit to it. And then we're going to send out a release saying that you made a mistake and you apologize to the fans.
I'm sure the quarterback told him the same exact thing.
Yeah, we need Lou. We need Lou in the NFL.
I thought you were going to say to hold the league accountable for their hiring practices.
Well, that too. Oh, Lou would get, yeah, we could get into that too. We could get into that. But I want Matt LaFleur.
Okay. Game accountability.
I want Matt LaFleur to say, I'm an idiot. I should have went for a touchdown. I want Mike Vrabel to say, I'm an idiot. For punting on 4th and 2 at their 40-yard line when I'm behind 17-13 in the fourth quarter, and which, by the way, ESPN had this stat, 75 times in the last 4 years, a team has faced that same situation, being down by 4 points, between 4 and 7 points, between the 35 and the 50 of the other team and having 2 yards to go, and they've gone for it 75 times, and he punted,
wow.
But he wouldn't admit it. He wouldn't admit that he screwed up. And again, and Mike Tomlin, worst of all time,
oh, yeah.
He wouldn't admit it either.
Yeah,
we need someone to force these coaches to tell their constituency, we screwed up.
Like politicians.
Yes, yeah, I screwed up. We should have like the Nixon helicopter for these guys. They got to go out and fly off into the distance because they were.
You won't have Mike Tomlin to kick around anymore.
I had this thought, too. 2 years ago, we thought Nagy, hey, that guy, the Bears finally got the right guy.
Yep.
Then somebody missed a field goal and he turned it into the biggest scandal, and a bigger scandal than the you know, he turned it into the football version of attacking the Capitol. He turned it into the greatest controversy ever, and now he's a moron, right?
Yep.
Did we see the decline of Matt LaFleur yesterday?
Ooh.
Is he going to turn out to be?
You know what? I don't think he's going to. The one thing about Nagy that stuck out to me off that thing was he wouldn't let it go.
No, that's what I'm saying.
I think LaFleur is going to try and forget this because.
No.
It's largely his fault.
I mean, Packer fans ain't going to let him forget it.
No, but he's going to have to. He's going to try.
This is Gary Anderson missing the field goal. It's not going to get forgotten.
Oh, no. Well, but I don't know. I do think the goodwill that this team did with the quarterback after they took Love in the first round is undone by the fact that they didn't go for it on fourth down.
What was he telling us yesterday? He doesn't know about his future. Was that saying you guys that was flashing back to you guys drafting Jordan Love,
and right? Then you didn't go for it on fourth down today, which means you don't trust me.
Yeah, well, that's what.
And
yeah,
I think he's back, I think the divide is growing.
Yes,
again.
Yes, I do too. He's not. He's.
It brought a full
not
circle.
Not because he's 37, going to be 38, but he'll never play this well again. This is as good as he possibly play.
I'd still take him, but probably.
He can also say, okay, you gave me this collection of one receiver and a bunch of nobodies.
Yep.
Tight end nobody'd heard of.
And look, I made him into a star.
Look what I did for these guys.
Yep.
And now we need a touchdown?
Yeah, and you won't.
And you won't.
Yep.
And you won't.
And you gave the ball to Tom Brady.
Yes. Yeah.
With no guarantees you were going to get it back.
He's sitting over there on that bench, and he's fuming, man.
Yeah, he should be.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
Yeah.
They have – the weird thing is – and I don't think this is applicable to Favre. The weird thing with the Packers with Rodgers is the sense of urgency has never been there like it should be.
And the sense of urgency in this last draft was unbelievable. Right. There was none.
Right.
There was none.
I think they – I saw a tweet of all the draft picks that they had last April, Pat. I believe Dylan, the backup running back, was the only draft pick who played yesterday.
Yeah, and he's, you know, if Jones hadn't gotten hurt,
yeah.
I mean, boy, did he get rocked that time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He popped the ball out there, but he was, yeah. I think he's great, but boy, they knocked the crap out of him.
His contract's up, correct?
Yeah.
I think his contract is up.
They won't pay him, but
no,
I got news for him. They ain't going to get the same out of Dylan. They're getting out of him because they need some juice.
Yep.
Hell with the 200. I mean, it's nice to have a 250-pound backup that you can give it to on third and one, but he's not going to be your stud.
But it's just weird. It's weird with as good of season as the QB had that they didn't chase the title more.
Yeah.
Well, like, you've got to do everything you can to try
Tampa.
And win this thing.
Look at Tampa. Everybody that ended up on waivers who could play, they got.
Yep.
Little Fournette. And they were bringing in guys all year.
Yep.
You know? Brady's. Somewhere, Brady went home to see Giselle last night and said, "How do you think Belichick likes me now?"
What would you have paid for a closed circuit camera in Belichick's house? I would have paid big money to watch Belichick.
There's one of my funniest bits I ever heard from a sports writer. Can't remember if it was a Wicker or who, but Lefty Drysdale was the Maryland basketball coach.
Mm-hmm.
Lefty was a creative recruiter, they said. He had Moses Malone coming there until, you know, they decided that everyone trying to recruit Moses was breaking more rules than anybody in history, so he went right to the ABA.
Mm-hmm.
But Lefty's two big rivals were Dean at North Carolina. He hated Dean because Dean was like this... Dean was like the greatest sideways egomaniac I was ever around in my life. He could make these offhand references to his own greatness while he was smoking his cigarette better than anybody ever. And John Thompson, because John, you know, Maryland owned the Washington, D.C. area, and then John came in and
took it.
All of a sudden, you know, Georgetown. I mean, they were nothing, and then they were this. So Lefty was up there in Maryland, like, now they were not the place to go for the black kids from DeMatha and Georgetown. Instead of going to play for Lefty, we're playing for Georgetown.
Mm-hmm.
And they were playing for the national championship. And I think it was Wicker, somebody describing Lefty being in this dark room with this little TV in the distance with the game on, just sitting there in the darkness with the, you know, with the demons all around him, because he had Dean and Big John playing against each other, and that's Belichick last night. Belichick, oh man, it did not work out. But Belichick, as I've said before, made the oddest quarterback move I've ever, considering the way they'd always played.
Yep.
to get in a big athletic guy who's not an accurate thrower.
Yep.
Instead of the most, you know, you would have thought he would have looked around for the most accurate passer he could find. It just didn't fit.
I thought when he had a bunch of guys opt out because of COVID, I thought that he was just going to start that Stidham kid and win two games.
Might as well have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I thought that was the goal, which would have been smart.
Yeah.
But instead he went and got Cam, and you're right, he can't hit the broadside of a barn these days.
No.
And it was a really weird
decision.
He had one
great year, but he had, you know, I mean, he was MVP and all that stuff.
I wonder if he'll try and get Stafford now from Detroit, since they're going to trade Stafford. He's got the cap space.
They're going to get fourth rounder or something.
Yeah.
You know, do they know that?
Detroit.
Why do they want to lose?
They've gave our guy Dan Campbell a 6-year contract, and I guess they've basically said we got to rebuild this thing.
Look
again.
At the coaching in this division, though.
Mm-hmm.
Detroit just hired an idiot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the guy in Chicago barely, you know, if they hadn't limped into the playoffs, was going to get fired.
Mm-hmm.
I'll still say LaFleur's apparently okay, and Zim.
Yep.
Zim's your second best coach, and Zim has done nothing to distinguish himself.
Yep.
And Zim's just a grouchy old SOB, you know, who can screw up more guys than he can help. And he's the second best coach in the division.
Yeah, and the Lions are going to be just epically bad now.
What's new?
It's going to just be fantastic.
Who did they just hire to? Try to give him some sanity to go with Spielman. They just hired
a GM who had been with the Rams.
Today, though.
And John Dorsey.
Oh, Dorsey. Yeah, Dorsey. They just hired
the Packers, Kansas City.
Used to be Packers, Kansas City.
And Cleveland, yep.
He's a football guy, right?
I mean,
he's a guy, supposed to be a draft guy or something. So what polished off our pal Ted Thompson?
I don't know.
68.
Yeah.
Just died.
Well, Alzheimer's. He had some type of, I don't know if it would be classified as dementia, but he definitely had something, because I guess when he was put in the Packer Hall of Fame, he came out and talked about it.
Oh, really?
And that was the thing towards the end, is there was no question that something was off. Like, something was wrong. It wasn't just ordinary aging. And I think it's a sport again. You know, he played for the Oilers, and I think it's the sport.
You know who else died? Buddy Lee.
Oh, did he?
Bud Lee died last week.
Bud Lee was still alive?
Bud Lee died last week, 92.
He outlived Sid as far as time period,
not years.
Yeah.
Not years. Bud
no
Lee.
Kidding, Bud Lee.
Bud Lee, Mr. Packer. My favorite press box in the 70s, and then I'd even after I got off the beat, I'd go to Milwaukee all the time to see the Brewers.
Yeah.
But Bud was a Packer beat writer, and then he became a columnist. And then sometimes in the summer, when he was the Packer beat writer, he'd be out there doing guest columns or something.
Sure.
But starting in the 70s, Selig had his booth in County Stadium right next door.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd wander over at least twice a game, smoking a Tipperella and, you know, those little cigars he had. And pontificating, and if Buddy was there, he'd say, Buddy Lee, don't the Packers have a third team guard that you want in? And he would just harass Bud unmercifully about the Packers.
And Bud was a nice man, as far as I could tell.
Bud was a quiet guy. Yeah. Well, Selig was a great agitator.
Yeah, that's great.
That. But Buddy Lee.
Oh man!
But when the Vikings went. When the Vikings went in there in 98 with Brandy, and they were both 4-0, it was a Monday night game, right? Was it a Monday night game? Yeah.
Yeah.
Randy. I covered that game, and then I got a plane, went to New York for the, must have been an ALCS, I think.
Sure.
Or maybe it was the start of the World Series?
It was October. Mid-October, I think.
Yeah, maybe it was start of the World Series.
Yep.
But I went there, and Rick Cerrone, who was Bud's PR guy in the commissioner's office, not the catcher, the other Rick Cerrone, walked, and Bud was sitting up there in that Yankee Stadium level in the next to Steinbrenner suite. There was one for the commissioner. And I said, if the commissioner would like a report on how Buddy Lee took the defeat, tell him I'm over here. So about 3 minutes later, he's out. Buddy, is he still alive? Is Buddy still there? The commissioner was back over making Buddy Lee jokes, you know. Like 5 minutes later, he came over and was joking about.
Wow, Bud Lee died, man.
Yeah, 92. I've got a buddy, Bob, who has 3 New Year's resolutions every year, and truth be told, he rarely succeeds at accomplishing his goals. He's not alone, by the way. Only 10% of us do accomplish our New Year's resolution. Then it hit me. Bob should call the Canopy Group. Why? Bob wants to read more, and I'm not going to be able to read to him. Bob wants to lose 20 pounds, and I'm sure not the guy to help him with that. But I can help him with his third resolution, and that is to save money. How's he going to do that? By handing this resolution over to the 30 professionals at the Canopy Group. They will help Bob save money on his home and auto insurance and have better coverage at the same time. There's 16 companies assure Bob's success, not only just this year, but they will do this for Bob every year to be sure he has the best coverage at the best price. New clients save more than $800 annually. Hand your New Year's resolution over to the Canopy Group and be part of the 10% with good old Bob, who says succeed in accomplishing at least one of their New Year's resolutions. Call 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com. All you Bobs out there, get with it. 800-967-3389 or visit thecanopygroup.com. 92, but he wrote for the afternoon paper, right?
I think it's
not the Journal. Oh, no, the Journal was the afternoon paper. The Sentinel was the morning.
Yeah, the Journal was the afternoon paper.
Bud wrote for the morning.
Because when I was doing the Packers for the Strib in 03 and 04, he was still, I think he was doing Packer Plus, maybe?
Yeah, and then he became their historian, didn't he? Became a historian.
No, Lee did.
Oh, that's Remmel right. Lee did.
Who is the longtime Packer PR guy.
Bud was doing something, I don't know what, but not still.
Right.
But for a while after he retired from the paper. But yeah, Lee Remmel, that's true. Boy, that was a cast of old characters when you went over there. They made me feel young, man, going over there with those guys.
Yep, Lee had been there forever. Mm-hmm. And Lee, I think Lee had gone back. I think before he got the Packer job, he was at the Green Bay Press Gazette. I think he covered the Packers in the late 50s.
Yeah, Lee Remmel.
60, yes.
Lee Remmel, yeah.
Yeah.
Lee was a great guy, but not real objective when it came to the contest.
No,
he was... If you were pursuing any angle that might reflect poorly on the Packers,
I think McGinn drove him crazy.
Oh, McGinn! I mean,
the players were afraid of Bob McGinn, so imagine the PR guy.
Yeah, McGinn. McGinn would have, when McGinn started analyzing the
He began breaking down the tape.
Too bad McGinn wasn't around with Vince. That would have been a beautiful. They would have lynched McGinn. They would have lynched McGinn.
Can you imagine Lombardi was
suggesting Jerry Kramer had a bad day or something?
The All 22 in Vince's day, if it had been leaked to the public, would not have gone over well.
I went over there a few times in the do sidebars in the 70s, and then was there a lot in the 80s. And it was amazing because they stunk.
For
20 years.
Awful after Lombardi.
They stunk until Magic Man, the one year they made the playoffs, for 20 years. And the link to the Lombardi teams was unbelievable. I mean, it was like they still, you know, sat around on Saturday night and drank and talked about the Ice Bowl, you know. I mean, in 1986, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, people think that the Packers – always had full houses in a huge stadium with a waiting list of 40,000.
Yep.
Favre changed everything.
Yep.
Favre changed everything.
Yep.
There were empty seats and there was no excitement.
They were awful.
Yeah. And there was no excitement and Favre changed everything. And the fact that the Packers in that little town can make as much money as the Vikings is, it evened the playing field.
The Packers and the Red Sox have always struck me as the two most understood franchises as far as people thinking that they've, always had their stadiums full.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, you saw that Boston thing that you know, the year that they drew 400 and some thousand.
Yeah. Fenway Park was empty.
Yeah. Before the impossible dream in 67. 65, the Twins were 17-1 against the Red Sox.
And didn't the Red Sox talk about getting out of Fenway?
Yeah, they wanted. No, that was later. They wanted to get out of Fenway, but they were talking about getting out of Boston.
Wow.
Boston was not going to have a team.
They lost the Braves.
And then 67, they popped up out of nowhere, and it became romantic, and then everything changed, I guess. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Speaking of the Red Sox, Shaughnessy had the GM. Who's the GM now? GM?
Bloom, is it? From the Rays?
Yeah, and the owner, no, Sam Kennedy, who's the team president,
yeah,
basically came out the other day as we're not all in. He said, we're not all in. We're not in a situation right now to be all in.
Financially? Is that what he's talking about?
I think that's what he's saying, is that they done.
Well, the ownership, he admits it.
The ownership does not want to, get out over their skis with the pandemic. He didn't really say why, but.
He was speaking for a lot of teams right now.
He said, but it isn't like it was 3 years ago when we were all in. He said, we're not all in now.
Interesting.
Yeah. I'm sure that went up. So the old streak of sellouts is going to be long over when they ever come back from this pandemic. Fans are down on them.
He was speaking for quite a few baseball teams right now who aren't admitting that.
Until we get Trevor Bauer, then you're going to change your tune.
Well, did you see?
He threw us out as one of the teams.
But then he had to take it back.
Oh, really?
So someone called him immediately and said the Twins aren't in. He then retracted it.
Yeah.
On Friday night, he said it's the Mets. It's the Mets, the Blue Jays, and somebody else.
What is with the Blue Jays suddenly deciding to spend money again?
I don't know.
They are weird. They spend money, then they stop spending money, and now they're trying again.
And I don't think that they know if they're going to play in Toronto yet.
No. No, it's weird.
They might be back in Buffalo.
I don't know. Who is that? Is that still Rogers or somebody else?
No, I think it's still Rogers. I think Rogers still, but it's a very weird thing. But there's a lot of teams that aren't all in 2000, mm-hmm. for 2021.
Well, the Blue Jays are going to be playing in beautiful downtown Dunedin until June. Probably.
Yeah, are they going to go to Dunedin or are they going to go back to Buffalo? But, I guess if you can play in Florida, you play in Florida.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to try to do.
I think they improved my ballpark there. I haven't been back in about 4 or 5 years. They've redone the ball.
They've done it several times. What they haven't redone is the roads to get there.
Yeah.
It's still the hardest place to get to.
With that old rickety old school Class A ballpark.
States of America. Ooh. So you had to watch football last night. You didn't get to go see your hockey team.
I didn't get to go see them, but I watched them.
5-3. Oh, you were. So
I got them on the computer.
I
got them on the computer because I got Fox Sports North. You know, I'm very lucky.
So I looked around last night. The Kings won.
Yeah.
The Ducks won, and the Sharks won.
Yep.
The California trio.
And they're not, and all three of them aren't very good. But, you know what? The Avs are a little odd. The Avs are good, and the Avs have a ton of speed and a lot of good players. The Avs, I've watched them a few times. I don't know they always show up.
Oh, really?
Yep. And the Kings beat the Blues. The Kings might not be as bad as I thought they were. I think the Sharks are awful.
Yeah, they're
but our guy Brent Burns.
Where did he bury that one from? Was it a point shot or what?
No, he came in and went through about if the screenshot is literally four Wild players watching him in between them before he gets the puck over Capo's shoulder.
So Capo wasn't Sterling.
No, Capo was actually pretty good. The third goal was bad. The Burns goal was not his fault, but he actually played pretty well.
Hey Declan, I got something to tell you.
Yes, sir.
After listening to Capo again last night.
Yeah.
And
Puck right here, by the way.
Having an opportunity to listen to Miko a few times.
Oh, boy.
And some of the other guys.
Yeah.
I'm never going to a Finnish stand-up comedy show, I'll tell you that. These guys are the most boring people in the history of man.
You didn't pick that up from Koivu alone?
No, well, Koivu, but then I thought, okay, well, I've heard a few Finnish guys in there.
They're not fun.
No, God,
they might be good people, but they're not fun.
Yeah, maybe it's too many saunas or something. Maybe they get all drained out, but damn alive. It's unbelievable how boring they are.
All I know is that the Wild has played two home games so far, and you were at the first one. I was sitting
I've
right
been
by
there 50% of the time.
Mr. Puck, you are the new John Gilbert.
Yeah, but I do enjoy the fact that we are frantically required to transcribe all of the quotes from Evanston and all of the quotes from the goalie and all of the quotes from Parisi, who might have a chance to give you one usable one.
Yep.
Why don't you just...
You're asking a question.
Why don't you just type the ones that are interesting, which is like two, you know, two. Zoom has given everybody in every sport permission to be even more boring, right?
Oh, absolutely.
And yes. Yet we still frantically transcribe all this stuff. Like, there's some nugget of gold there that we all have to share. It's
yep.
unbelievable.
Yep.
The only quote the other day that I listened to that was Parisi talking about Kaprizov, you know.
Yeah.
Doing and that
but you're,
was one
you are part. So right. And the old art of somebody starting to go down a path and then everybody staying on that path is dead.
No, I have this question. When the interview starts, I have this question I'm gonna ask. So some guy could say, well, you know, my mother was in a very serious car accident and we're worried about him and you know, we don't know what's happening. And the next question is, on that shift there, with,
so you
know, on that shift where, you know.
I mean, you guys came back from two goals down,
yes,
though.
That's right. You
I don't know
it.
How mom is, but yeah, talk about the rally.
Talk about that rally
that you guys put together.
Yeah.
But the art, but if the Rogers presser had been done with people there.
Yeah, it would have been great.
It would have been only about the future.
Hey, this is Ricey, and I'd like to welcome a new partner here to Ricey Unchained, EcoFun Motorsports. It's located in Forest Lake. If you enjoy bike rides on a summer day, but maybe your knees aren't what they used to be, that would be me, and you still want the exercise benefit and need a little help on those pesky inclines, then I recommend that you talk with Tim Bloom, the owner of EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Tim and his family will personally help you select the e-bike that is right for you. They will deliver that one to your front door in the metro area also. You might be thinking, hey, it's January in Minnesota. Maybe you need a bike at your winter place. Right now, Bentelli e-bikes and Yamaha Power Assist bikes are at their lowest prices of the year. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake. Guess what? Joe Suchere has been telling you about EcoFun Motorsports and Garage Logic, and it's only like 8 minutes away from Grundhoffer's, the meat place. You go to Hugo, you go to Grundhoffer's, get your meat, then you go to EcoFun Motorsports and get your exercise bike. EcoFun also carries the full line of Yamaha scooters, motorcycles, and a wide variety of Yamaha ATVs, including ATVs for kids. Check out EcoFun Motorsports in Forest Lake and online at EcoFunMotorsports.com. That's ECOFUN, one word. And if you get up there, tell them that Ricey Unchained sent you. Well, it would have been
like once you started down the
two
path.
Things. It would have been
the game and then
it
the future.
It would have been how? I mean, are you personally offended right. that you didn't go for it?
But once you started down that path, right?
Yes,
you stick on that path.
Yeah,
because you could have said, "You seem very upset. How upset are you?" Right? You know, and then because he clearly was having trouble containing how he felt.
Yes.
And people did a decent job, but the Zoom, the, okay, you're done now on to so-and-so from the Sheboygan Press.
I don't think, I mean, I'm a friend of Domofsky and, you know, Silverstein's great and some of these guys. I don't think there's a team, it's amazing, but in the NFL, traditionally, mm-hmm. at least the last 25, 30, I don't think there's a team better covered than the Packers.
Oh, I wouldn't disagree.
With the local, because
when I was there, it was
even
incredible.
The Gazette would throw people at them, and now you got other outlets.
I always
ESPN.
Said The difference between...
And TV guys actually try to report?
Yes.
Back in the day, anyway.
I said, to me, the difference between the Vikings coverage, which I think is good, and the Packers is this. If the Packers changed their nickel corner, it was a headline. Like, they cared so deeply. It was like probably hockey in Toronto, Montreal. It was the same exact type of thing. Like, they would dissect everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And well, if you change the corner, it's a nickel corner, it's a little gray.
Well, I don't know how they're doing now, but for years, the only pay for sports thing that worked was Packer Plus and
Packer
Milwaukee
Plus.
Paper.
They cleaned up.
They were selling subscriptions all over the world.
Yep.
You know? Yep. Exclusive guy. They'd give you a game story and a column for free, and everything else you had to buy.
Yeah. I think McGinn's breakdown, film breakdown was
free.
No, he had to buy cost that. You.
Yeah,
unless you bought the paper.
Yeah,
no, you're right.
Yeah, it was. It's amazing what happened over there. And as I say, it's not a 60-year phenomenon. Obviously, Lombardi was a phenomenon.
Right.
But it's a 30-year phenomenon or a 26-year phenomenon, 27 since Favre started winning.
And when Jordan Love gets that job, it's going to be so... Because that finally should end this run from what? 92 to now.
I'd hate to be that kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because if you aren't great...
Yeah, you're screwed.
Yeah. Now...
If I'm a Viking fan, I'm delighted.
Rodgers missed 1 year, right? Most of 1 year.
Yes. Yep.
Well, most of 1 year. Who played?
Oh, was it Seneca? No, it was it Tolzien? Was that the backup quarterback?
The guy from Green Bay? I mean, the guy from Wisconsin?
I think he played, yeah. And the last time, I think the last time Aaron got hurt, Seneca Wallace, who had been with Seattle, played.
Did Favre ever miss a... He had the long streak.
Yeah, the streak didn't end. Now, he did have Sherman's last year, which would have been 2005, I think. They were terrible. And then McCarthy got the job the same year Chile did. And then by 2007, they were back in the conference championship game, and that's where Favre threw the pass in the cold that got picked off by the Giants.
Another thing that hurt the Pack yesterday was it was too nice.
Yep.
40, the Tampa, because the forecast, right?
Snow.
A week ago was snowing. 22 and it was 40.
Yep, you're right.
And the field looked great.
And the sun,
didn't look like when
Brady
Vince
didn't hate it.
Didn't look like when Vince put his heat coils in there and
melted
the ice bowl. And he was so proud of his heat coils, and they took the tarp off, and it was all mush, and it went.
Yep,
turned into a skating.
That's what happened here when the Vikings played the Bears in 2010 at TCF. Same thing. You take that tarp off. Bang.
When it's 800 below zero. But, they got to be sad over there. What did you and Mackie, probably it's harder for you because of time to get the Packer call-in line. Did you have any?
No, we had a ton.
Did you?
Yes.
What are they, the touchdown, the kicking the field goal?
Well, they're upset about everything.
Everything.
It just depends.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd say 3/4 of them are drunk, which is great.
Oh, yeah, right.
It's so much fun.
The post-game ones, yeah. It's fantastic, that's for sure.
Absolutely.
I thought they were really good. And then when Bakhtiari got hurt, I got a little skeptical.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's their second-best offensive player, or third-best, probably, behind it. Farvin Devontae.
The game that they played there against the Vikings, defensively,
they looked
concerned
terrible.
Me, and that defense was sort of back yesterday.
Yep. They were able to put a bit of a pass rush. They had a defense that was able to make a play once in a while.
Yes.
But they were scoring so many. They were number one offense, right? Or no, maybe.
Scoring.
Yeah.
Scoring offense they were, yes.
Even more than Kansas City, so. Yeah, I don't know. Brady is
a hell of a chance, though.
What?
I said that was a great chance to go back.
Never have a better one. Never.
And the conference is not that great. So
no, and we're also talking about Tampa, the Road Warriors. Well, the first one was Washington. Okay,
right.
This isn't like when the Vikings went to Atlanta. I mean, went to New Orleans to play the first good New Orleans team with Bobby Hebert.
Mm-hmm.
And then went out and got Juan Montana booed off the field, and then went to Washington and damn near, won. That would have been the greatest, one of the greatest trips. And Pittsburgh, when they won, coming out of the, wild card. That was
this conference was not good.
Oh, God, no. Who'd they beat? They beat the Saints were overrated all year.
Breeze was not good.
No.
Breeze was
no
a shell of his former self.
And I suppose he's waiting until all the
post-Super Bowl.
Post-Super Bowl, he retires. He's got to retire. There's nothing left.
Yeah, I think he's got I know he's got the job with NBC lined up. He signed that contract a year ago. I can never tell.
Okay, do you still think Romo's the greatest thing since sliced bread?
I think he's fantastic. I still like him.
Yeah, he's...
But you don't like people that talk too much. He talks a ton.
He does talk a lot. Yeah, I like Ray Scott.
Yeah, I was going to say, you like guys who are...
Dollar. Star. Dollar.
Touchdown.
That's good enough for me. That's good enough for me.
All right.
So you don't think we're signing Trevor Bauer this weekend?
No, I think that, somebody called Rosenthal.
It's not often you have to write a retraction on mindless speculation.
Lou Gelfand got to him.
Yes,
take that
true.
Back.
Read if you remember Lou fondly, go to startribune.com. I got a column pleading. For the NFL to hire a Lou type character to make these coaches admit they bleeped up.
All right.
See you. If you have questions about your retirement savings, you want to work with a person that knows what he's doing or she's doing, whoever it is, in this case, Josh. Do what I did and work with a person that you know you can trust. That is Mr. Money Talk, Josh Arnold. This is Patrick Ricey. You need to see my guy, Josh, now, especially with what's going on in the markets today. You need Josh's straight talk, not any sugar-coated advice. Sit down with Josh for a no-cost, no-obligation, 48-minute consultation to review your investment, including your IRA and 401k. You can learn how you can benefit from Josh Arnold's experienced and focused approach. Call Josh now at 952-925-5608. Josh Arnold, Mr. Money Talk, 952-925-5608.
Investment advisor services offered by Josh Arnold Investment Consultant, LLC, a registered advisor in the state of Minnesota. Past performance is no guarantee of future results. All investments involve risk.
He knows you once ate an entire sheet cake. He knows your selfie life isn't your real life. He knows what goes down in the DMs. Shouldn't you know your dog better? Now you can learn his inner secrets with Embark, the highest rated dog DNA test. Unlocking over 350 breeds and screening for over 215 genetic health risks. Go to EmbarkVet.com and use promo code DNA, that's DNA, to get $60 off an Embark Breed and Health Kit or Purebred Kit with free shipping. That's promo code DNA to save today.